This episode of the Construction Industry Podcast is sponsored by Remontech, the construction camera specialists. With so many resources dedicated to your construction project, why would you not want it documented with a time-lapse video? Wouldn't it be great to have a live feed of your construction project available on the web, wherever you go and whenever you want? For a free ebook on all you need to know before having a construction camera system installed, visit constructionindustrypodcast.com and sign up. Again, visit constructionindustrypodcast.com and sign up to receive your free ebook.
Welcome to the Construction Industry Podcast. Fresh ideas for today's construction professional. The Construction Industry Podcast is brought to you by Remontech, remote monitoring technologies. Find us on the web at constructionindustrypodcast.com.
Well, hello everybody. My name is Cesar Bage and I am your construction camera specialist. This is the 52nd episode of the Construction Industry Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you navigate the waters of the construction industry. Whether you're starting your career, have been in the construction industry for years, or if you're a construction project owner or a construction business owner, there's always something new related to this beautiful industry of ours that we can all learn. Today, we will talk to Dan Murray on the topic of disaster restoration. Stay tuned. All right, it's been a busy few weeks here at Remontech, but I'm glad and excited to bring you this 52nd episode of the Construction Industry Podcast. See, every once in a while, I like to bring you a guest to talk about some aspect of the construction industry that you might not be too familiar with. For example, a while back, I had Mark Anthony from the UK on the show, and we talked about the demolition industry, and that was really interesting to see how that got started. It was after the war. They had to deal with buildings that had been affected by the bombing in London and in the UK. And so they had to come up with standards for demolition. I had no idea how the whole thing started. So that was really interesting. So today I bring you Dan Murray, fellow Canadian, who has decades of experience in disaster restoration. I don't know about you, but I knew very little about this industry. So let's get started.
And now, our feature segment.
Dan Murray has been in the cleaning, restoration, and remediation trenches with over 30 years. He owned and operated a successful carpet cleaning business, started and ran in two cities full-service disaster restoration and environmental remediation contracting firms, and worked 10 years as a franchisor in this industry. Dan's passion for the last 6 years has been to coach and train specialty contractors to help them build true value in their business while getting better results, easier and faster. And Dan is on the line with me today from his home in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. Hello, Dan. How are you?
Hi. How are you today, Cesar?
I'm doing well. Thanks for making the time today. I know it's a bit earlier there for you, and I appreciate that.
Sure. No problem. It's a pleasure.
How's Halifax today?
Well, actually, it's a typical Halifax East Coast day. It's raining. So at least it's not snow because we got lots of that this winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked before and I shared with you that I was in the Naval Reserves for a while. So I'd spent some time in Halifax and I loved it there. It's a great place.
Yes, it certainly is.
Now, Dan, we connected on through LinkedIn and we were just talking about that before I pressed the record button here. And then I got interested in what you do, which is disaster restoration. And you talk about that and you train people on that and you have years and years of experience in that. And it's not typically what people think about when thinking about the construction industry, but it is a big part of it. I did a similar thing a couple of years ago when we talked about the demolition industry, and that was quite interesting as well. So I thought it'd be a good angle for my audience here because I'm sure the majority of them are not familiar with disaster restoration. So tell us a little bit about what it is. What is disaster restoration? What is this business?
Well, basically, it's an industry niche that's developed over the last 25 years or so that deals almost exclusively with insurance claims. Any time that you would have a fire, a flood, wind damage, roofing claims, oil spills, any type of situation where a homeowner or a business would make an insurance claim, we're specialty contractors that focus just on doing that type of work. And, you know, it's a good point that you brought up about, you know, your audience, and a lot of them are general contractors or renovators, I would assume. And a lot of what we do has a lot of similarities and a lot of the same types of trades. And in some cases, some of your audience, after listening to this presentation, our podcast today, may want to get to know the local contractors that do insurance claims in their area, because there's a lot of spin-off work that possibly could come from it.
Mm-hmm. I when you said that insurance claim, that usually in my mind means good business. You know, if you're dealing with that type of if those are your clients, because usually, you know, it's work that needs to be done and the funds are there, and there's a lot of it. It's a lot of claims. So how big of a market is it?
Well, you know, you bring up a very good point, and I think during this the podcast, several points that how the industry has changed. But in the good old days, it was kind of a wild way that we ran our businesses, in that there was, we were all figuring this out. When I got into this in the early 80s, it was kind of a it wasn't really a defined industry, but now it certainly is. It's a mature industry and has lots of challenges. I did some comparison. I was just doing a little research before our call this morning, and you know, the Canadian home renovation market, for example, is approximately, from my stats that I've saw, is a $65 to $70 billion industry employing about 750,000 people. Would you agree with that? That's kind of in the ballpark.
I honestly have no idea.
Okay. Now, the disaster restoration business is hard to define accurately. Although there's lots of numbers, being an insurance industry, the insurance industry, they all have to track their numbers. So there's lots of info out there. And the Insurance Bureau of Canada is the most reference site, and they do yearly updates on total amounts paid for property claims. But you also have to back out that they pay for contents replacement, they pay for additional living expenses and other claims costs. But the latest numbers from 2013 show that the industry in Canada paid out $6.1 billion in personal property damages.
Wow. That's huge.
Yeah, and I have had many talks with several senior claims managers over the years, and we're trying to define the size of the market for our industry. And if you take about a third of it off for again, like the contents replacement, additional living expenses, et cetera, we're in approximately a $4 billion industry here in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Which is between 5 and 10% of the total numbers that you gave me earlier for the entire construction sector, I guess, or renovation sector.
Renovation sector, yeah.
Wow, that is significant. And for the listeners in the U.S., typically these numbers, if you times 10, it's usually how it works in the U.S. That's my experience.
Absolutely.
So just think of those numbers times 10. Okay, so all right, so here's a question. As you know, majority of the construction industry, the contracts are design, bid, build, and things like that. So the big numbers typically don't mean a whole lot for the contractor, because they're operating on a very low, small margin for profits. So how is work given out in the disaster restoration industry? So let's say there's a claim and the insurance company needs to hire someone to do this particular job. How is that procured?
Well, in the last few years, the industry has made a major shift, and most of it is procured now by doing RFPs to our industry and doing preferred vendor agreements, either on a regional or national level. And the big change that has caused is our industry now is much more focused on giving the service at a specific prices. And by that, I mean our industry is now being controlled mainly by one software vendor that dispatches electronically claims through to the contractors from the insurance company. And with that, there is a price guide that is sent, but the insurance companies have also now tweaked or customized that pricing to things that would interest them, or they want to control costs, because the whole industry has gone through, in our industry, has gone through what the automobile industry went through 15 or 20 years ago and by controlling prices and parts. And that's happening in our industry big time. In fact, our gross margins are averaging 15 to 20% less than they were 5 years ago. So our industry has gone through a major, major change and still going through some major challenges right now. So the days of hearing that an insurance claim is easy money is long gone.
Okay.
30 years ago, yes. Today, far from the truth.
Mm-hmm. So do you have the numbers? What are the typical margins for a business in this industry?
Yes, and they'll probably sound high still to a lot of the audience listening today that are in the general contracting business. But they range in the mid to high 20s. The odd one according to the mix of business they do. If they do more cleaning and water damages versus construction, they may be in the low 30s. But it's in that 28 to 32% range is kind of the ultimate. Where people are hitting for these days.
Mm-hmm.
But the big challenge that we have in the disaster restoration industry is that we have to be able to provide immediate 24/7 service. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of training required for our staff. There is a heck of a lot of equipment that we have, specialized equipment that we have to have that we may only take off our shelves once every year or two. And you're expected to have all this for immediate response for emergencies. And this isn't including dealing with severe weather events and those type of things.
Mm-hmm. So it is a difficult industry to be in, but and going through some external challenges as well in terms of margins not being so great as they were 10 years ago. But there's still good opportunity, and I think that's where you come in as a coach to help folks wade through these waters and stand out. And we'll talk about that towards the end of the conversation here, how you can help people in that area. And I think I'm in a difficult industry as well because it doesn't exist. You know, what we provide is we basically created this niche, and it's tough. But the opportunity is, it's there because less people are doing it. You know, because it's a bit harder. But I think every time I hear people say, oh, this is a difficult industry, in my mind, I'm thinking opportunity. Because if you do it right, that means that you're going to stand out and you're going to do well. It's a smaller haystack, I guess.
Well, I agree 100%. And basically what's happened in our industry is that the people that were playing around in it, that weren't really serious about it, have gone away. And the people that are serious professionals in learning and conquering the challenges this business requires are getting bigger and stronger.
All right, just a quick break here to let you know about our sponsor. Remontech designs, installs, and maintains construction camera systems around the world. We will provide you with a live feed of your construction site so you can check it on your computer, your tablet, or smartphone. Also, we will remotely record construction progress via time-lapse videos, which you can use to investigate accidents, use it in your marketing materials, and create special clips of important activities, like that big slab pour or special crane operations. Besides the live feed and recording, Remontech will also integrate the time-lapse video to the schedule and Gantt chart of your project, providing you with a high-level overview of the health of your project at a glance. We'd love to give you a detailed demonstration of what Remontech can do for you and your project. So please visit constructionindustrypodcast.com and contact us through the website. Again, visit constructionindustrypodcast.com for more information. Now back to the show. So is this a growing service segment or is it about the same, or is it because of these challenges, is it getting smaller?
Well, that's a very good question, and there's no really definite answer. Can I just explain a few points about that?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, first of all, as I said earlier, our industry is price sensitive, so we're working for less money than we were 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, and we're doing a larger volume to generate the same revenue with a less bottom line. So some days it's not as motivating as it used to be, but again, it's not all bad. I don't want to be a doom and gloom by any means, but our industry is difficult in that we're very dependent on weather conditions. No matter what part of the world you're in, mild weather in the winter, for example, produces less claims. The furnaces aren't going, people aren't cooking, which causes, you know, stove protein fires, fireplaces aren't working, ice damming doesn't occur in roofs, water pipes don't freeze, you know, all those type of things. And then there's the extreme weather events, like tropical storms, hurricanes, you know, freezing, cold snaps, heavy rain events. The insurance industry reports that just extreme weather events alone in Canada average about $1 billion a year over the last few years. But then we had what happened in 2013, you know, the historic floods in Alberta and in Toronto. That, I think it was around $3.4, $3.5 billion in insurance claims from those events. So our business goes up and down, our volume, a lot with the weather conditions. So the more severe, the better it is for our industry. The mild winters, the mild weather events are, we can have pretty, even though it determines a lot of how much work is out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, no, it's kind of a sad thing, but I can see how those events would be. Folks in the industry would be like, oh, wow, this is a great opportunity now. So be interesting to see how you balance, you know, feeling passionate, but also trying to seize the opportunity there.
Well, it's usually more of a desperation feeling, because when a big weather event happens, you can have a year's worth of claim volume come in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And how do you service the customers properly? You know, it's a big challenge in our industry.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like if you own an ambulance business, you know, it's good to have more business, but it's not good.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We complain when it's too busy, and then when it's slow, we complain. We wish it was busier. So there's hardly a time when we're all happy anymore.
Can't we just be happy? You know, we yes. can't. All right. So, okay. So, folks might be wondering here. Well, you know, I'm in the renovation business. It's, you know, basically, things get damaged, I can just strip stuff away and rebuild it. So what's the difference between some of the key differences between a restoration contractor and a renovation contractor?
Well, there's that's a great question too. There's many key differences. The renovation contractors, the good ones, which I'm sure the majority of them are the good ones that are listening to this podcast, we all have to follow, you know, safety protocols and have proper insurances and comply with the provincial or state and federal legislations for workers' comp and health and safety and all that. But the good renovation contractors are usually, in my opinion, they're very specialized in a few areas. It may be their kitchen and bath or their decks or their, you know, basement refits. We kind of have to be able to do all of that, plus we have to be able to deal with the initial event that it caused the claim, which, you know, could be a flooded basement, which is probably the majority of our claims involve flooded basements. And when we have flooded basements, we also quite often deal with pre-existing mold, or if the claim was allowed to set long enough, new mold growth. And in these days, with all the regulations on asbestos, it's become a huge part of our industry, is dealing with asbestos in the different building substrates that are used. So we kind of have to be good at a lot of different things. We also have to be good cleaner, have good cleaning staff. We have to be able to have people that are trained on knowing how to deal with these emergencies, dealing with the customers. For example, I think this is a very good example, is that a homeowner who's planning to have their kitchen renovated usually will start months in advance talking about it, thinking about it, going to different building supply stores and shopping and going online, and they can take weeks and weeks, and then they go through several contractors, most of them getting quotes. In our industry, Mrs. Homeowner got up this morning, and she had to take her kids to piano lessons. She had to, had a work to go to. He was going to go out of town, whatever. You can put all the scenarios in place that we all live our lives every day. But they go downstairs in the morning and the basement's got a foot of water in it. So now this process happens extremely quick. And all of a sudden they've got insurance adjusters and talking about terms and conditions, their policies that they don't know much about. Who's read their insurance policy, for example? You need a strong pot of coffee and still you probably wouldn't understand it or get through it. And then you get all these contractors and these people going in and rummaging through all your personal belongings and going through your laundry and moving personal effects. And it's very traumatic. So that's kind of the main difference in our industry.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. So it requires preparation and training and also a super high level of ethics, because it'd be really easy to take advantage of people in those situations. So I'm sure that's a big part of the industry as well, is talking about that aspect. Huh?
Well, unfortunately, in the old days, in the 70s and 80s when this industry was forming, some contractors took advantage of that and did charge outrageous rates, and it ruined it for the majority of us who are good and ethical contractors. Mm-hmm. And that's really what happened in bringing in the software and the price list that we now all live by. So these days, the majority of our work, I would say 98% of our work, is all done at unit prices pre-approved by the insurance companies, and it's just a matter of the volume of work needed, but the prices are all preset. So the days of the contractor saying, I can make an extra 20 points on this job because I'm here and I can help when they need it, those days are gone.
Mm-hmm. So let's say if a renovation contractor is more like a plastic surgeon, you guys are like the ER doctors, right?
Yes. In fact, quite often when major weather events happen, we have to triage our claims and, who needs help right now, who can wait for a week or two. And and the rebuild process, it is, that's a very good way of putting it.
That sounds really exciting, actually, for people listening right now. If you're passionate about construction, about helping people and about thinking on your feet, and this sounds like a fantastic industry to be able to exercise those muscles and make a difference. And it seems like there's a lot. There's some opportunity there. So, what are some of the regulations and standards in the disaster restoration industry?
Well, there's lots. Again, we have to all comply by the same, basic standards. But there's in our industry, there's two major organizations. There is the IICRC and the RIA, which let me just explain, because those are acronyms that probably are foreign to most of the people here. The IICRC is the Institute of Inspection, Cleaning, and Restoration Certification, and it's a international ANSI accredited nonprofit organization. It has over 20 categories that it certifies folks in, in the inspection, cleaning, and restoration industries. And the last figures I heard that it has approximately 55,000 certified technicians and over 6,000 firms that are certified in 22 countries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And some of the courses, if you don't mind, I'll just go, some of the courses that we have to take, and to go with what you said just a few minutes ago, is if contractors who are not in this business want to get into, they need to take some of this training, and they need, probably will find that if they want to be in this business, they have to make a basically almost a full-time effort. It's not something you can dabble in. So we take courses, for example, water damage restoration technician. We have applied microbial remediation technician, applied structural drying. What's the other one? Oh, commercial drying. And in the commercial industrial market is another $1 billion-plus market in Canada that we didn't even talk about yet. And then there's fire and smoke and odor control. But those are five or six of the main courses that we take out of the 20-plus courses. But a lot of folks take more, if they want to hone their craft and get really good at what they do and what their personal interests are in this business. Now, the RIA stands for the Restoration Industry Association. It's the oldest and largest trade association in our industry. It has over 1,100 members worldwide. And it provides and promotes ethical standards. It does education and certification programs. The three programs the RIA offer is the Certified Restorer, which I've been a Certified Restorer since 1993, and have maintained standards to keep that. And it focuses on, it's kind of the highest benchmark in our industry. And then we have the Water Loss Specialist, which is another very intense course and program involving, if you want it to be specialized in water damage. And they also have a certified mold professional course. In Canada, there's also it's called the RCOC, the Restoration Contractors Organization of Canada. And this group is nonprofit. It represents the full-service restoration contractors more as an advocacy group, and it matters like health and safety, government, regulatory affairs, that sort of thing. They state on their website that they have 12,000 people employed in 600 offices, members of their group, and that their group alone does in excess of $1.8 billion in Canada a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
It looks like it's a well-structured industry with associations that are worldwide, not just in Canada. And that's fantastic. These associations are a lot of times are very helpful because they provide guidelines and certifications and it creates a common language as well. And I'm sure there are conferences and education sessions you can attend, correct?
Yes, there definitely are. In fact, I just came from the RIA annual conference and trade show in Las Vegas about 3 or 4 weeks ago. In fact, in Canada, I'm involved in a show called the Property Loss Restoration Expo, PLRExpo.ca, and we put on an annual event every November, and we have a working relationship with the RIA and the RCOC in putting this together.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now then, the work that you do today, I mean, you are a restorer and you've been in the trenches and in the basements and getting your feet wet and stuff like that. But now you do a different sort of work. Tell us a little bit about that and what you do right now and how you help folks in this industry.
Well, sure. The thing that I found in about 6 years ago, I started in the coaching and consulting business in our industry, and it's kind of like going being in Canada. We can talk in hockey terms. It's kind of like being on the ice for most of my career, and now I'm behind the bench, helping and coaching players develop. And so it's a very satisfying and rewarding part of my career. And it keeps me sharp because I'm always dealing with contractors and keeping current with what's going on. But the things that I find that we need to focus on, there are several, but the main one is being efficient in everything we do. I find that I've spent a lot of my time helping contractors think through, because often they do things so long that they forget why they even started doing them, and processes and ways of doing things, and we have to be more efficient to maintain margins. But I do have a few things that I try to work with the customers. If we have time, I can take 2 or 3 minutes and expand on that a bit, Cesar.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I think to be an exceptional company, and any business owner listening today, I think they really do want to be exceptional. There's about 6 or 7 key things that we need to be concentrating on. Leadership. We have to be good leaders from the top down, but also in the trenches. The people that are out there in people's homes doing work, they have to be able to lead the customer. They have to be able to lead fellow crew members. They have to be able to do the things that, you know, up until a few short years ago that wasn't expected of them. And so leadership is a big part. And I'm a big, big believer that, and a good friend of mine, Ken Tucker, taught me this many years ago, is that if you want to be a leader, you have to be a reader. The best way to get develop your own, whatever area in your life you want to develop in, is to find books on the subject and read on a daily basis. And you read a book a month for 12 months, and you'll become a lot better at what you're trying to accomplish. The other is financial discipline. You know, we have to know our numbers. Everything we do, we need to be looking at what our ROI is. And we always got to keep in mind cash is king. A big, big difference in the restoration business is that renovation contractors usually have everything spelled out how they're going to get paid, right?
Yeah.
So you'll get, you know, you'll get a down payment, you'll get a draw at this period, a draw at this period, and a final holdback and a draw. In the restoration business, the majority of our work, the vast majority of our work, how long do you think it is? How many days outstanding from the date we invoice till we get paid? What would you guess?
Oh, my goodness. I don't, but, you know, because you're dealing with claims, so you need to, I can only imagine the paperwork, and then you have to wait on the insurance company to move, and then, you tell me. I know how much I wait to get paid. I can tell you that.
Well, I kind of set you up a bit, but you got to remember what insurance companies are. They're basically huge financial institutions with huge profitability and cash flows, mm-hmm. right? So money is not the issue, but the average right now in Canada is about 75 days from the date you invoice.
Mm-hmm.
Many cases is 90 to 120 days. Mm-hmm. So, you know, cash flow, you know, we can start and do let's say a $15,000 or $20,000 emergency and rebuild, let's say in, 4 to 6 weeks. So we started on first, you know, let's say in January, and we finish it in mid-February, and it could be May and June before we get a cent,
mm-hmm.
before we get a penny. So cash flow is king in our business.
Well, not only that, but when the ice storm hits in Toronto, you know, you're going to be using up all your resources and maybe bringing more people in and buying equipment, and you have no cash flow at that point. You're going to have it 75 days later.
I've seen many profitable restoration companies go out of business because of events just exactly like that. Many people have went out of business in our industry because they never said no to they took too many claims and didn't have the cash flow or the ability to get cash to fund the operations, even though they're running profitable jobs. Sad stories.
Mm.
The other one is customer service, and I'm a huge proponent in that a customer service is not a department. It's an attitude within your company, right?
Right.
So, you know, you got to have, you get best quality control by having good customer service. And remember that, you know, in all of our businesses that we're listeners here today, is that you should always inspect what you expect.
Hmm.
Right? So if we inspect what we expect, our quality control will look after itself. And if we drill down in teaching our people and developing them, to understand what customer service is, it takes a whole lot of our problems away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's fantastic advice. Do you have any other items there?
Sure. Just a couple of quick ones. Our team, you know, to our customers, our staff on the job site is the company. So we have to develop our people. The people do business with people. People don't do business with companies. People have to remember that. So how our people act, look, and react are very important. And then we also have to have proper measurements and accountability. We have to be proactive in the services and how we deliver our services. And you know. And then the final thing is marketing. I think most of it done today can be done with websites, blog posts, and social media. I mean, you and I met on social media, and almost all of my work has been done through contacts through social media. I'm huge on LinkedIn and Twitter, and and also through networking with over 30 years in the business. But that's what happens then. So those are some of the key points, Cesar.
Very good. And then you do coaching for companies, and you've been doing a lot of traveling, but now you just shared with me that you're shifting more towards online training and via Skype and webinars, things like that. So tell us where we can find out more about you and what you do, and maybe how to get involved in some of these opportunities for training and coaching.
Okay, well thanks for asking. And the easiest way is probably just to go to my website, yourrestorationcoach.com, and I think you'll probably put a link on somewhere describing this podcast for that, Cesar. But basically, I'd encourage any listener that's interested I did have a free report. I spent probably a good week of my life writing this report. It's called 7 Ways to Improve Your Margins. So all you have to do is enter your email address and your first name, and you'll get that download instantly. And I promise your listeners that you won't get a sales pitches from me continually. I wrote a series of emails, and I do regular video blog posts giving tips and techniques geared mainly to the restoration contractors, but I think that 99.9% of these tips would also be good for the general construction industry folks. And another way, let me just say, my point in doing all this is to help people and also for them to get to know, like, and trust me, that someday we might have a relationship. But it's a good lesson to take away to what, you know, the listening folks here today can do is what can they do to build trust and like within their community that they want to serve. And these days you have to be thinking outside the box. And also LinkedIn, I think the links will be involved, but and Twitter, all my social media links will be there. But that's another great point in that I have probably 6 or 7 different social media channels that I'm on, and people ask me all the time, why are you on so many? Well, I'm on so many because my clients, some of them prefer Twitter over LinkedIn or Facebook over anything else. You have to be where your customers are. And that's another lesson for the listeners today. So, you know, how you be with social media, how you deal with social media, and also you can find out what's going on in your industry. The final point is we do a special 2-day, we call it Restoration of Champions Boot Camp, geared towards the contracting business, where we help contractors to rethink, refocus, and re-energize their business to achieve extraordinary outcomes. Why be ordinary? Let's be extra. Put some extra on your ordinary. So Donald Cooper, who is a business icon in Canada, he and I have worked together and put in together this 2-day boot camp, and more details can be found at rocbootcamp.com.
And I'm sure you can find they can find links to that as well on your main website at yourrestorationcoach.com, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So all the links to all these wonderful resources, and I recommend any everybody listening right now to go to yourrestorationcoach.com and get the free report. I took a look at it. It looks like, Dan, you put a lot of work into it and a lot of your experience in it. So, and it's free, so might as well just go and get it. So, mm-hmm. And the links to all the resources that were shared here today will be in the show notes for today's episode, which you can find at constructionindustrypodcast.com, and look for this episode there. Dan, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your expertise and some of your wonderful tips here with our community. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cesar, and thanks for the folks listening to this. And just go out and do it, folks.
All right. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Dan Murray. I'll have links to his website and the other resources that we mentioned here during the call at the show notes for today's episode at remontech.com/52. Again, remontech.com/52. And Remontech spelled R-E-M-O-N-T-E-C-H. So remontech.com/52. Now, before I go today, I'd like to invite you to visit our website at constructionindustrypodcast.com. and see how we have been using cameras and time-lapse videos to bring construction schedules and Gantt charts to life.
Are you a part of a medium to large commercial or industrial construction site? Or maybe you're involved in a mining or oil and gas project? I'd love to connect and network with you. We've been helping projects just like yours for over 10 years now. And what we do is we connect the live feed from the cameras to the time-lapse videos that we record to the schedule of the project to create this unique tool that is high level and provides you with the health of your project in a glance. It's a bit of a visual thing, so it's very important that you see it in action. So visit constructionindustrypodcast.com and check out what we do. We'd love to connect with you. And really, this is what I had for you today. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Dan Murray. I hope you enjoy the Construction Industry Podcast, and I'll talk to you again next time. Bye-bye.